Really Happened radio show. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. It's Tuesday, April 8th, 2014, and we have got oodles and oodles of stuff to talk about today. I'm going to be going a little bit fast, I think, through the talking points. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Sam is sitting in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble, ready to answer the phone when you call on in. I want to start today with a little bit of an update on what's going on with Ebola. There are articles that are coming out here that are basically saying that Ebola is defying, like it's conscious or something like that, efforts at containment. In other words, they're trying to set up barriers around the Ebola outbreak, but they keep finding cases propping up outside. And there's a very good reason for that, and it's the very long period of time that a patient can be infected and infectious before they manifest symptoms that will cause them to seek medical treatment. And in for Ebola Zaire, the average time is about 16 days, can be as long as 3 weeks. And that's really what makes it very, very difficult. Now, as we mentioned yesterday, the World Health Organization has confirmed this is the Zaire strain of Ebola. This is the worst of all of them, 90% mortality rate. And there was an interesting article here over in the Daily Sheeple talking about the cases in Canada and Minneapolis, and casting doubt, saying we're really not sure. They're hemming and hawing about the case up in Canada being Ebola-like, but hey, not to worry, it's not the African Ebola, even though this man had just returned from the outbreak site in Africa. Now, as of right now, there are confirmed Ebola cases, admitted Ebola cases in Mali, Liberia, and Sierra Leone. We have the one rumored case in Canada. The Minneapolis patients reported to be suffering from loss of fever rather than Ebola. Now, what should concern everybody right now is that we know we live under a government that does not want to report bad news. Remember the Gulf oil disaster and Obama's swim in water that was really, really close to the Gulf of Mexico but not actually in it to prove Gulf seafood was safe to eat? And 3 years after the Fukushima disaster, only now are they admitting that the reactor in Unit 3 did in fact explode. Oh well, is our face red? But they're still insisting Pacific seafood is safe to eat, so go on spending your money at those Pacific seafood corporations, all those fish canneries and crab companies and the rest. So you need to ask yourself, do you trust this government to tell you the truth of Ebola, if Ebola is already here in the U.S.? And I think the answer is hardly. The people in Washington, D.C. want you to stay at your jobs, go about your business, pay your taxes, join the army, spend your money at the stores, and so forth. You are of no use whatsoever to the United States government and Wall Street if you are staying at home out of fear of infection. Remember Saddam's nuclear weapons? Remember Assad's sarin? Remember human-caused global warming? Do you trust this government to tell you the truth if Ebola is already here in the U.S.? And we ran a poll at whatreallyhappened.com that came back 99% of the respondents said no. They do not trust the U.S. government to accurately report on the Ebola outbreak if it arrives in the United States. And that's a very telling result there. Now, a while back, when we were dealing with the aftermath of the realization that the U.S. government had just lied to us all about Saddam's nuclear weapons to sell us a war, and I said, the government is destroying its own credibility to the point where if there was a real crisis, this government would not be able to guide the population to adequately deal with it, and this could turn out to be that crisis. Now, other countries are already taking steps. Lebanon is screening all the airports for travelers arriving from the infection zones. They're not going to be allowed into the country without a blood test. Same thing with Senegal. There are no cases there yet, but they're already sending out the BSL-4 suits to doctors and nurses. Senegal has already closed its borders with Guinea. They're not letting anybody from Guinea come into their country. And they're playing catch-up because of that long, long incubation period. This thing is probably already all across Africa and into several other continents. So this is going to get a lot worse before it gets any better. Now, turning to the situation over in the Ukraine, there's a wonderful video that's making the rounds all over the internet about a fistfight that broke out in the Kiev parliament. Their government is badly factionalized. All these different remnants of the overthrowers, they all think they're going to be the new government, and it broke into open violence at the Kiev parliament. And the video is all over the world, and it really doesn't give the new coup d'etat government in Kiev much credibility or gravitas in the world. They look like what they are, a bunch of brawling thugs who are very skilled at overthrowing an elected government, but they're not a government themselves. And they're still pounding their chests and threatening. They're very concerned what's going on in the eastern Ukraine, where there are literally millions of Ukrainians who want nothing to do with this government they did not elect. And they're talking local sovereignty. They want autonomy. And they're rejecting fascist rule, which is what all of these Western puppet regimes always bring to a country. The wealth of the country is sucked out for the bankers. Austerity is forced on the people. That is the inevitable result of fascism. Now, earlier today, the government in Kiev sent military forces into Kharkov to try and retake the regional administration building that was seized by the separatists. And there's a video that I received, and I posted it to whatreallyhappened.com just before we went to the airtime. Apparently, the soldiers from Kiev weren't even able to get off the bus. They were chased away by a crowd of the local citizenry just throwing rocks through the windows of the bus, and the bus just tore on out of there, and the soldiers didn't even get off. So I think partly it's the fact that so many people in Kharkov do not want to be part of the Kiev regime. And I think the other part of it is those soldiers still working for the government in Kiev are very, very reluctant to use violence against their countrymen. It's their own people, and they're being told to go out and harm their people. Ukraine has announced they've launched an anti-terrorist operation in Kharkov. They claim to have arrested 70 people so far. But again, looking at that video, I don't think it's the huge, wonderful success they're trying to portray. There's a very interesting article on this over at MondeDiplo.com, basically pointing out that although there appears to have been a change of government in Kiev, and yes, the elected government was forced out, and the new coup d'etat government is in there, but they're saying the same oligarchs are still there, the same ones who were corrupting and influencing Yanukovych's government. And remember, its degree of corruption was cited as justification for its overthrow by Washington, D.C., not realizing they're basically giving the people a reason to overthrow the U.S. government as well for corruption. But these same oligarchs are still in positions of power with the new government in Kiev, which means the corruption isn't going to go away. So the stated objective or the stated justification by the United States that this was going to somehow end the corruption in Kiev, no, it's not going to happen. The same players are still there. Starting to see more and more whining and crying and gnashing of teeth over the fact that Germany is very, very cool on this NATO buildup and threat against Russia over what's going on in the Ukraine. Germany is very dependent on Russian natural gas. 6,000 companies in Germany do business with Russia. They don't want to lose that. Their economy is already very fragile because Germany has been paying the brunt of the costs of that European Central Bank's debt machine. And they're not as resilient as they used to be, and they're very reluctant to go along. I think most people are reluctant to go along. We realize what's going on with this whole overthrow. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market.
First Amendment privacy is rare. Kryptonite.com has data encryption software for your protection. Kryptonite.com keeps information safe from NSA spying, cloud data mining, identity theft, and corporate espionage with encryption protection giving you 100% privacy in conversations, data storage, and transmission. Keeping your free speech safe from data theft with the best encryption software on the market for easy-to-use, low-cost data security. Kryptonite.com, CryptoNyte.com.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll free 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
Knob Creek Gun Range invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. The three-day event is October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action. Thousands attend this semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors. There will be hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessory available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky. On-site camping facilities available, or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Only $10 admission fee per day, $5 for 12 and under. Knob Creek Gun Range is also open year-round for your shooting enjoyment. Call 502-922-4457 for more information or visit www.machinegunshoot.com.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from takefromcaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at takefromcaesar.us.
What?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Now, we are seeing a report coming out of undergroundmedic.com that American mercenaries are already on the ground in Ukraine, which is moving us one step closer to a war. Now, we know the government in Kiev contracted with an American company, a subsidiary of Blackwater Sea Academy, whatever they're calling themselves this week, to hire these American mercenaries to basically try and clamp down on the separatist secession movement before it spreads any further. Maybe it was the mercenaries who were in that bus that drove off quickly. I'm not sure. But it's very dangerous to have Americans on the ground there, whether they're mercenaries or regular uniformed military. Remember how we got stuck in Vietnam with the the advisors, they were called? And apparently there are some 150 American mercenaries on the ground in Ukraine right now. More and more concerns certainly shared by me. This is being reported over at Press TV. U.S. and NATO risk triggering a global war over the confrontation with Russia. And of course, over in the White House, they're saying, yes, 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 that'll take their minds off the economy and IRS targeting of dissidents and Benghazi and the rest. We need a good bloody war to fix the economy because, hey, it worked the last two times we did it. Now, NATO has issued yet another warning to Russia to avoid an historic mistake in Ukraine. By sticking your nose into our overthrown country, you are making an historic mistake here, which you know, we've heard that before. I mean, Netanyahu was saying the same thing about the P5 plus one deal with Iran. It's an historic mistake. I'll tell you the real historic mistake here, and it's a biggie. The historic mistake was the United States government thinking it could go on covertly overthrowing foreign governments without the world finally realizing what they're doing. And that's what's happened here. Now, for most of the history of the United States since the end of World War II, they got away with it because most people didn't realize that all these nations whose government was being brought down and replaced, they figured it was just internal politics. And they didn't see the hand of the CIA in there doing all this dirty work. But now we do. We know that the CIA overthrew the elected government of Iran in 1953 and imposed the Shah. We know the United States overthrew the democratically elected government of Chile in 1973 and imposed the dictator Pinochet. This is what the U.S. has been doing. It's a covert form of war against the rest of the world. And now everybody knows it, and the paradigm is shifting. And the reason they're so eager to shut down this secession movement is very, very simple. This idea of covertly changing government to take control of a nation only works if the people of the nation blindly follow the new government as they did the old. But what we saw in Crimea and we're seeing in Kharkov and Donetsk are the people saying, well, wait a minute, that's not my government in Kiev anymore. There's no reason for us to go along with that. There's no reason for us to, you know, pay higher taxes and live under austerity. If we didn't elect that government, if they don't represent the will of the Ukrainian people, we're just going to secede and break off. Now remember, the United Nations has declared it as a fundamental and inalienable right of all humans for self-determination to choose for themselves what government they will have. And when necessary, to remove oneself from a government not of one's choosing or not operating in one's interest. And this gets back to the United States justifying the overthrow of the government in Kiev by saying, well, you know, they were corrupt and they were incompetent. Because that declaration is going to come back to haunt Washington, D.C. I mean, whose corruption is legendary, epic, and now sanctioned by the United States Supreme Court. And in terms of incompetence, just take a look at how they handled Obamacare. Or how they handled Hurricane Katrina, or the Gulf oil disaster, or Fukushima radiation on the West Coast, or Hanford, or the WIP facility in Carlsbad. These are not competent, honest people. And they work very hard to make sure that competent and honest people will not be allowed into the system. We saw that in 2008 and 2012 with the way they all worked together to get that Ron Paul out of there. He's gonna spoil the party if he's allowed to get any more power here. All right, we're going to grab a phone call. John in Barbados, aloha, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm thinking of this situation in the Ukraine where the right sector and Svoboda overthrew the elected government by armed force. What I'm saying is, well, let's have Rand Paul and the Tea Party arm themselves to the teeth and overthrow the U.S. government. Get into that White House and throw Obama out.
Well, again, I don't advocate a violent revolution in this country because it's very clear the U.S. government is prepared to deal with that kind of an eventuality. They probably even want one so that they can declare a national emergency and martial law and shred whatever's left of the Bill of Rights after what the Supreme Court did to it just a couple of weeks ago. But I really do think if we just all stay calm and relaxed and wait, and I know it's very hard to do that. I get a lot of email from people saying, I'm tired of waiting. This system is ready to implode. And the Federal Reserve and the economy come crashing down, and it will take the federal government with it, and then our task will be to build a new nation and a new government that truly works for all the American people. I'm going to go back to that whole 1776 attitude.
Well, I think it may be a bigger task than the American government believes, because there is at least 10 million or more Americans armed to the teeth already. And with every move that this illegitimate government makes in Washington, people are arming themselves further. I fear that this is going to really break down. Once the economy goes, then these armed gangs will be out there taking their revenge.
Well, I'd like to avoid that. Again, looking at the case history of the fall of the Soviet Union, there was about 3 to 4 months where people just had to sort of help each other to get through the tough times while the new Russian Republic was being formed. And I think it'll be pretty much the same thing here. And again, this is the time when you should be building your network of friendships and connections and relationships in your own small local community. Find out things that you do they need. Find out what they do that you need. And just be prepared to go to a non-currency economy for a brief amount of time, or to a barter economy. And
living so close to...
Hello?
Hello, yeah. Okay. Living so close to the to America and to its politics, I don't see that you have a Vladimir Putin to restore America yet. There's no figure like Putin who in a few years completely turned Russia around.
Well, I don't think we need a Vladimir Putin, but we do need a Ron Paul. All we need to do is have a government that realizes its job is to take care of the entire nation and not just the money junkies and not just Israel. And the very first thing we need to do is we need to outlaw private central banks issuing the public currency as a loan at interest, because all the other evils our nation has suffered flow from that one original source. It is that private central banks are a tool of mass enslavement. They're waging wars to enslave those few remaining nations not already, you know, in their corral. That's the goal of the New World Order in this whole situation. They want a global private central bank that will hold the entire human race in debt slavery forever. That's their agenda.
From what I see...
Okay, you're fading in and out. I don't know that we have a really good connection here.
Well, from what I see is all the trillions and trillions of fraudulent paper in these credit default swaps and asset-backed guarantee loans and all that sort of garbage.
Oh, it's a mess. They've created a huge mess. Listen, John, I'm going to let you go. We got to take a commercial break. Our phone connection is flaky. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh...
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steinblock, DO, and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Hey neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking ExtendoVite. It's been approved to help my heart.
ExtendoVite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years, and ExtendoVite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about ExtendoVite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking ExtendoVite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
There's drugs you get from a doctor, and there's drugs you get downtown. And there's drugs that help your hearing, even drugs that help your sight. And there's drugs that help you think that every little thing is gonna be alright. Smoke and steam and even shots, pills, capsules.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. I'm looking at the corporate media. Apparently, Hazmat was called out to a school on suspicion of VX nerve gas. Turned out to be habanero peppers some kids were playing with. So everybody's overreacting. They're all out there with all this new hardware and budgets. We've got to stop the terrorists. And, well, there really aren't any. It's just all the actors running around pretending to be terrorists to scare you into wars, like, you know, Adam Perlman and his ilk here. Now, getting back to this whole Ukrainian-Russian confrontation. Finland is actually looking to increase economic ties with Russia, specifically the maritime industry. Russia is in the process of building up their commercial shipping fleet, and because the carbon Nazis were completely wrong about the Arctic ice cap shrinking away to nothing, Russia is in dire need of icebreakers, which Finland builds the best in the world. And so Finland's national investment organization, FinPro, is calling for Finnish investors to invest in the Russian market. So much for sanctions. Now, this sanctions agenda is going to backfire on the United States, with the ruble and the yuan presenting credible alternatives to the dollar, allowing nations to engage in commerce without having to go through the United States. Other nations are going to choose that route because doing business through the United States using the U.S. currency comes with too many strings or leashes attached. We have seen that with the arrogance of the United States going out and telling other countries like Russia and Iran, no, you can't do business. We won't let you. We don't grant our permission. And, of course, Russia and Iran are going to say, we don't need your permission and we don't need your dollar anymore. So this is going to accelerate the process of nations dumping the dollar. This kind of arrogance is wholly inappropriate given the U.S. economic condition right now. Now, there is a post that's been making its way around the internet, and the headline reads, Russian plans for war on Sweden cause concern. And I think this is an indicator of just how desperate the propaganda is getting to get everybody scared of the mean old Russians. They're coming to get you. And I lived through this once before back in the 1950s and the 1960s at the height of the Cold War, when the commies are coming to get you, the commies want to put you on socialized medicine. Well, our own government's done that now. The commies are going to nuke you. The commies are doing this. The commies are doing that. And this is just more of the same. They're trying to bring back the Cold War in the hope that the American people will forget all about the corruption and incompetence in Washington, D.C., and the greed and fraud from Wall Street. We'll throw the flag a snappy salute and fling our money and our babies onto the designated enemy's bayonets. And it did work back in the 1950s and 1960s, because the American people back then still trusted the government and the corporate media to keep them properly informed. Today it's completely different. We know the government is lying about virtually everything, from Saddam's nuclear weapons to human-caused global warming and the state of the economy. The American people know the corporate media is lying to them about things like how safe the latest pharmaceuticals are and the state of the economy. So this story, which might have worked back in the 1950s, Russia planning war on Sweden, it's failing miserably now, because we've been lied to too many times to go along with this stuff anymore. All right, story out of RINF.com. The U.S. is now back to wanting to get into Syria. They're stepping up their aggression. They're arming what remains of the hired mercenaries with anti-aircraft, man-portable missiles, man-pads, and anti-tank weapons. So they're sending the weapons in. They're sending the weapons in. At the same time, they're screaming at Russia, "How dare you send weapons to Assad? How dare you interfere in other countries? That's our job." Now, you know, we're dealing with the fact, speaking of incompetence and corruption, we keep hearing all these stories about how various U.S. government agencies and departments are just misplacing, meaning it's going into somebody's pocket, tremendous amounts of money. Remember September 10th, the day before 9/11, when Don Rumsfeld got up there at the Pentagon and admitted the Pentagon had lost $2 trillion? Funny, it was here just the other day, you know, it was right over there on that cabinet, and, you know, it's gone today, who knows? And then, of course, the plane that hit the Pentagon flew around the Pentagon to come in from the other side and hit the offices of the accountants trying to find where that cash went. Somebody got very, very rich off of that whole deal. Now we have the more recent story that while Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, the State Department misplaced a few $1 billion as well. Now up in Afghanistan, we're finding out that some $700 million for food, laundry, and other services for the soldiers taking over that country were supposed to have been paid by other members of the coalition. And because of paperwork snafus, that $700 million got dumped on the American people. All right, we're going to take another phone call. George in Texas, aloha. George, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Mike?
Doing fine.
Well, yeah, yesterday I went to court as I was subpoenaed as a witness.
Okay.
You know, there was this gentleman, he has a nice little family restaurant, he has a nice little play place, you know, a little playground for the children and all that stuff, and, you know, he and my family, me and my kids, they don't play in a playground, they're a little old now, but anyway, you know when you talk about, you know, the business owner has a right to refuse service to anyone?
Well, that used to be a principle here in the U.S.
Well, this woman accused of racism because she would go in to this restaurant and try to say kids were unattended or people being spanked, and she would call Child Protective Services or the police department.
Mm-hmm.
Well, finally, you know, this woman was chasing off business, and finally the owner told this woman to bamoosh. I don't want your business if you're going to run off my my customers and all that stuff. Well, she accused racism.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what came out in the discovery in the court case was I found out that this woman was getting kickbacks from social workers for sending business their way, turning in people for no reason.
Aha, okay, yes, okay.
Yeah, and the thing is, the woman lost her case against the business. There was nothing about racism. It was more about protecting his clientele from a snitch.
Yes.
And, you know, and the thing is, now this guy's going to sue in social services now.
I hope he wins. Unfortunately, the problem is the taxpayers will pick it up. When we talk about the blueprint for the new America, I think I'm going to add in there that when somebody working in the government acts illegally, they personally become financially liable for any resulting civil suits. Because one of the reasons the police are running rampant across the country, killing and maiming people, is if they are successfully sued, it doesn't come out of their pocket. It comes out of their, you know, department budget, which is tax money, or they go out and they write another whole slew of traffic tickets, you know, to cover the cost. So the people wind up paying for it entirely. But I think we need to make government workers civilly, personally liable if they are operating outside the law.
Well, yeah, and another thing I found at my bank, they're getting a lot of currency requests in the Russian ruble.
I'm not at all surprised. I know that when the euro first showed up, a lot of people wanted to build up a little pile of euro coins. Again, nobody trusts the dollar right now. It's amazing they've been able to hold together the illusion that the dollar is worth something this long. We had that article we talked about last week where an analyst came back and said the only thing propping up the dollar right now is the U.S. military might. They're, you know, basically pointing guns at the rest of the world and say you will accept this dollar as being worth thus and such.
Well, that's getting weaker and weaker by the moment, these SSRIs and suicides.
Well, I'm not sure what one has to do with the other, but I mean, that really has been the policy. As the world decided they wanted to move away from the dollar and Bretton Woods, the U.S. invades them. We saw that in Iraq, 2002. This is regarding the petrodollar arrangement. 2002, Saddam gets permission from the United Nations to sell Iraq's oil for the euros. 1 year later, the U.S. invades. Iraq's oil's back for sale on the world market, only for U.S. dollars. Same thing in Libya. They wanted to sell their oil for the gold dinar. So we invade Libya, we kill Gaddafi, Libya's oil's back on the world market, but only for the U.S. dollar. It's all being propped up by U.S. military might.
Well, I got suspended on a Tea Party account because I dared talk about Israel.
One of the problems that we have with these large organized movements online is they do get infiltrated very, very quickly. Remember, the government of Israel pays Jewish students in the United States to get onto social media and try and control it, to propagandize for Israel's agenda. And so, unfortunately, everybody gets to be a target. I've had a few people come in, you know, to become members, and they start posting inflammatory stuff, and I have to yank their membership. So it's a major problem. We're all dealing with that. Okay, George, got to let you go here. We're on a commercial break. We'll be right back.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms?
What will you do without freedom? That's the question the American Freedom Party is asking as a high-tech surveillance state continues to be constructed in the one-time land of liberty. Through methodical gradualism over many years, the United States has been hollowed out economically and morally. The Republican Party is little more than a partner in crime to the open globalism and cultural Marxism of the Democrats. Both parties support the offshoring of American industry and jobs, open borders, endless wars of aggression all over the world, and slavish obedience to Israel and to the banksters and gangsters of Wall Street. The American Freedom Party is guided by the sole principle of supporting what's good for America and Americans. The American Freedom Party rejects the archaic liberal conservative paradigm in favor of an outspoken advocacy of freedom and liberty that rings true to America's traditional values and way of life. The hour is late, but America can yet survive and begin to thrive again if enough Americans act to regain their freedom. The alternative is too bleak to contemplate. Learn more about the American Freedom Party by going to AmericanFreedomPartyInfo.us. That's AmericanFreedomPartyInfo.us.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, strategy one, to be free from the IRS. Escapeharassment.com.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Get the hardest hitting rebel newspaper of them all. By mail, anywhere in the CSA or U.S. For the next 12 issues, send $25 cash, check, or money order to TFF, P.O. Box 385, Silver Hill, Alabama, 36576.
Without a fight, you can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to take another phone call here real quick. Chris in Las Vegas. Aloha, Chris. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Well, hello, Michael. You were kind of suggesting that you wish there were a way to hold these agents accountable and make them pay for it. I would suggest that there is that option available, but it's a separate motion, just like a motion for attorney fees or for awards of cost or damages or other forms of amelioration for your wrongs. You can motion based upon the egregious nature of the unjust, willful violations of law, unclean hands, or bad faith intentions, to have the individuals have to pay for their own private counsel as opposed to attend further burdening the people by having them pay for their representation.
I would tend to think that the judges would simply dismiss those claims, because institutionally, when you have a dictatorship that is using the police to terrorize their own people, the police have to get the message nothing bad will happen to them personally. I mean, they get back on the job, they get promoted. I know there was one case last year where the police were so far outside the letter of the law that they...
Did you cut off? Hello? Oh, okay.
And like what I was saying, so for that very reason, I'm going to repeat it. I think that anybody in the government anywhere that violates the law ought to be held as personally, financially liable in the following civil suits. Because as long as these people in government are assured that the taxpayer will pay any fines, they don't really have an incentive to change their behavior. And I really think that we need to do that.
I certainly agree with your observation, at least on the state level. Although when you get into the Federal Circuit Courts of Appeals and you motion to be heard under Article 3 General Justice Courts by a three-judge panel, according to the common law, or perhaps a trial by jury of your peers specifically, it's very likely you would prevail on that basis because it has to be compared to the egregious nature of willful violation of the rights of the people or the violations or wrongs they've done that you would move for this sort of action, being able to have them pay for their own private defense because they'd operated outside of color of law. And
But then you got the police union, which is not constrained by that law, who very often provide lawyers for their officers in those circumstances. I don't get me wrong. I am agreeing with you. I think this is something that should happen. I'm saying under our current government and its current attitude toward we, the people, the courts are basically going to side with the police officers and the government 99% of the time. Like I said, there was one case last year where the police officers were themselves held personally financially liable for what they had done, but that is the exception. We need to make it a rule here. Chris, got to let you go here. Coming up on the top of the hour, got a lot of stuff to talk about. Now, Tony Blair, who yesterday it came out that he had known all along about the torture that was going on and did nothing to stop it or suggest to Bush that maybe this wasn't a good thing. In fact, what they were saying is, give us all the details, give us the pictures, give us the videos, we want to see this kind of stuff going on. Now he's out there saying that the Iraq invasion was a good thing because it prevented a Syria-like civil war. In other words, we saved lives by invading and taking over the other person's country, which is pretty, pretty weak when you realize that the only reason there was destabilization in Iraq is it was part of the run-up to the Iraq War. And the so-called Syria civil war, that's another one. This is a covert attempt at overthrow. 90% of the Free Syria Army are not from Syria. They're hired mercenaries from elsewhere. In fact, now it's 100% because all the native Syrians have accepted the reconciliation offer, turned in their guns, and gone back to living their lives here. But it is amazing that Tony felt compelled to come on out and make these statements. I think it's an indication that the government and the plotters of the Iraq War are getting very, very nervous that the truth is coming out there. We've seen Donald Rumsfeld out there with his new documentary about, everything was fine and torture was necessary. And they're doing a full court press to resell the old lies to us. I'm expecting somebody to come out in the next few days saying, oh yeah, Saddam really did have nuclear weapons, but he hid them, which makes no sense at all. Meanwhile, apparently Rick Santorum is drawing a little bit of fire from the government of Iran for comparing them to Nazi Germany. It's almost become a cliche. Whoever the United States wants to invade, oh, they're just like the Nazis, they're just... And, of course, Hamid Babeh, I'm from pronouncing it correctly, Iran's spokesman to the United Nations, called the claim patently absurd and reminded Senator Santorum that Iran has not invaded and attacked another country for almost 250 years. A record certainly that the United States or Israel cannot hope to match. These days the United States can't seem to go 6 months without bombing or drone striking or invading somebody. If you want to look at what country is the most like the Nazis, just look down at your feet. You're standing on it. You've got concentration camps, using torture, invading other countries, using fraud and deception to sell it to the people, complete control of the media, constant surveillance on us all. We're there. The Fourth Reich has taken root in the United States of America. Now, a lot of people are still screaming and whining and crying over this proposed deal between Russia and Iran to do a direct barter swap of Russian products for Iranian oil without having to go through the dollar or, in fact, any other currency. And, of course, this is how dare you evade our sanctions here. And they're out there saying that if they go ahead with this deal, this will be the end of the P5 plus one deal with Iran. In other words, if Iran accepts this deal to trade their oil for Russian products, this will somehow be the killer of the Iranian nuclear pact, which, of course, we know Israel and the United States are trying to find some way to sabotage anyway, because so far, Iran has kept to all of their agreements. The United States has not. The original P5 plus one interim deal was Iran was going to refrain from highly enriching uranium, and the U.S. would reduce sanctions. And Iran reduced their enrichment activities, and the U.S. promptly increased the sanctions. And so now they're up there where the U.S. arrogance is just amazing. They're trying to tell these other two countries, no, you can't do business with each other. You must come through the U.S. dollar. You must do business only through us. We are the world's global marketplace. And again, this kind of arrogance is only calling attention to how the United States does business, how it uses the dollar and Bretton Woods to control global commerce and banking, and that's only going to accelerate other countries moving away from that system here. Two U.S. senators are out there screaming there must be a hard line over this Iran-Russia deal. In other words, they want to say, because Iran and Russia want to trade oil and products, which has got nothing whatsoever to do with any kind of military operation, that the U.S. has to move closer to war with Russia. And I think the world is going to reject this idea that nobody's allowed to do business without permission from the United States government. They're really, I think, harming the credibility of the U.S. government more and more with these kind of extreme statements here. John Kerry's out there screaming that Russia faces costs if it destabilizes Ukraine, because stabilizing other countries is our job here in the United States of America. Remember, this whole Ukrainian situation began when Ukraine decided to reject the offer to merge with the European Union and merge with Russia, and that's when all the covert overthrow began to force the elected government from power, put in a new coup d'etat government that promptly merged with the European Union. That's interfering. That's destabilizing the country. We'll be right back after our top of the hour break.
Oh,